for our last little segment here of our second episode. First of all, let's go all the way back to the beginning. We talked about KD moving, but there was a lot of moves this offseason. So I just kind of want, you know, to hear your general thoughts about basically everything that happened. So, I mean, there's a lot of movements. What teams basically, you know, really improved through free agency? What teams basically, you know, blew it or you know, signed somebody that made you say, like, what the fuck? You know. So, basically, let's just get the rundown on basically the entire league. So, I just throw that out there. Who wants to jump on board here?
Well, the money going around was crazy.
Oh, of course, yeah. that was some stuff we've never seen before. You know, like the money that was flying around,
like so much money, where I had to be okay with Nicholas Batum getting $120 million,
and it was actually kind of a bargain.
It kind of that's scary, right? Where he's not even an all-star, he's still kind of maybe the best small forward we got on the team. But that's crazy, man. Like, some of the money going around, like,
I mean, Bradley, I'm okay with, Bradley Beal was, you know, pulled 128.
He's trash. He's low-key trash.
DeRozan pulled 145.
And then you got guys who aren't that good at all, really. Like, Evan Turner got $70 million to the Blazers. Like, I'm going to talk about that. If we were going to focus on the money the whole time, it would just get stupid. Like,
yeah, I mean, the money is out. Let's just talk about the players, the pieces. You know, because the money's there, so they spent it. Okay, fair enough. But yeah. Let's talk about some of the players that moved or stayed and how they fit, you know?
I mean, there are little moves that end up being big moves, and it's the big moves that are just big moves. But,
there are known unknowns, and there are unknowns unknowns.
Something like that. But, okay, I'm just keep it bringing back to Horford going to Boston.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's Horford and because it's Brad Stevens, that's a huge move in my opinion. Because Horford, he's played his whole career out of position, in my opinion. You know, he's a power forward. Like, despite him being a center, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, he's a power forward. And he's one of the most, like, versatile power forwards in the league over the last couple of years, you know? So you put him in an offense with Brad Stevens, where a guy who's pretty much made an offense out of misfits, guys who are not that good. Boston gets scary, in my opinion, because their biggest issue for the last 2 or 3 years was the lack of a front court. Now they got an all-star power forward there who's a great passer, who can step out, hit some shots from mid-range and deep. That's scary, man. So I think that's a big one for Boston.
I mean, obviously that's probably the second biggest, you know, impact move after Kevin Durant was Horford moving to the Celtics. I mean, and that's everything that you said is spot on. You know, he's a versatile. He's not only a front court player, but he's very versatile at it as well. He's also a kind of a quiet guy, dude that plays his lane, you know. So you're not gonna hear him saying like, I need to get 18 points a game, or I need to get, you know, X amount of touches. It seems like, you know, when the coach puts him in position, he's gonna just play that lane. So I think it's a great fit for Celtics as well. I mean, I wasn't really surprised to see him go there. You know, and I was actually quite happy with it, you know, as far as the.
Yeah, it makes sense for both parties. Like, for the Celtics, they got a guy who they can actually run an offense through on the inside for once. And, you know, in the league now, that's a big thing. When you have a forward or a center that you can run, you know, a significant amount of your offense through.
Yeah.
To give your guards a break, or, you know, switch up the looks that defense can see. That's a huge thing.
He's also an inside out, you know, big man. So, you know. Yeah. You can put him on the block and let him go to work, but he can also take their big out and, you know, hit this 18-foot jumper in their face. You know, the dude actually, his jumper is actually wicked. You know,
it's damn good, yeah. And defensively, like, that's going to be – they already got Crowder. Am I right, Crowder?
Yeah.
Bradley and Horford inside. Those are problems, man. That's going to be, you know – that's a headache to deal with.
I mean, that's the funny thing about it, though, is that they made this great move. Like, you know, not to go back to our last segment, but they make this great move and they get Horford. They, you know, they have a team in place and they go and draft Brown. You know, it's like you could have done something really big with that pick. But, you know, anyways, any other moves that really, really caught your eyes, guys? I mean,
there's a move that would have been big news a couple seasons ago with Dwight going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I actually, if I'm Houston, I'm pissed off that Atlanta gets Dwight and they changed the Hacka Shaq rules the same year.
Yeah, all after the fact, yeah.
Another thing about it, too, oddly enough, is that Dwight's deal actually was really cheap.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it a 3-year 70 in this market was actually quite manageable for them. You know, it's like, it's a decent little deal. I mean, it's a lot of money up, you know, for each year, but it's a short-term deal. So, I mean, you know, we're going to talk about that. Evan Turner was just 4 for 70. You know, it's like.
Like, for comparison's sake, Chandler Parsons got 4 for 94.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much in the same lane as Dwight with the paycheck, which makes no sense in my opinion. But, I mean, Dwight came cheap. I don't necessarily like the fit. Like, I don't like what Atlanta's been doing in this offseason. Compared, like, when they were successful and they won all those games 2 years ago, it was all about player movement, guys being versatile at all positions, you know, keeping the system flowing. Dwight is not a keep the system flowing kind of guy.
No, he's not. I do think one thing that will be interesting for them is they basically replaced Horford, you know, with Howard, right? Yeah. And just to see how the team adapts to Howard's presence is going to be an interesting storyline throughout the season. Again, I don't really like the fit as well, especially after getting rid of Teague as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't quite call it a bad fit, but
it's different enough for me to be concerned about how it's going to work, you know? Like, I can understand, okay, Dwight's here, and when you look at Dwight from a play call perspective, he's always going to be the very last thing that happens on offense. As if he gets the ball, don't expect anything else to go on but a shot. But at the same time, I look at it as in, okay, Millsap, now you have all this freedom because it's your team now, basically. Like, Teague's gone, he can do whatever. It's Schroeder running the offense. Schroeder's limited in a lot of ways. He's a good point guard. He just needs a shot and a way to pace himself. But it looks like it's Millsap's team now, more or less, you know. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's what needed to happen. I don't know. It's, you know, their organization are obviously a lot more intimate with their players, but it doesn't seem like it works quite yet. It's not one of those things where I look at it and say, oh, that's going to work right off the bat.
Yeah. Well, my thing about it is I do think that what they really did, though, is because between Horford and Millsap, that front line, I wouldn't call it, let's just say, it's not that intimidating. On, you know, from a defensive standpoint, right? On offense, yeah, they're going to light you up. But on defense, it's kind of like, And also, as far as grabbing, you know, as on the glass, right? So plugging Howard in there really kind of, you know, kind of covers and masks the weakness that Horford and Millsap together. I mean, they weren't strong on the glass and they weren't strong in the lane as far as defensive, on the defensive end. So from that standpoint, it makes a little sense, but I think they just lost. I think they lost Horford anyways. Horford wasn't coming back. I don't think they had a chance to sign him anyways. So them going out there and getting Dwight wasn't a bad move. But like you said, it's still kind of like up in the air how it's going to work.
Yeah. Like I got to see how it's going to look first. You know, it's one of those things where this, like, I want to believe it's going to be good, but at the same time, fuck the Hawks. So I don't know.
Well, tell us how you really feel, you know. another team that made a lot of moves this offseason that, you know, kind of makes you wonder what's going on there is New York. I mean, they basically brought in, you know, the Bulls from yesteryears and, you know, put them together. They got Noah, right? They got him for $72 million for 4 years. They traded for Rose as well, right?
Yeah.
So,
Courtney Lee, they got him too.
Yeah, Courtney Lee. Actually, Courtney Lee is actually a decent little fit. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
But
Courtney Lee's the best move they made this offseason, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's actually the best move they've made, as far as free agency since Phil Jackson has taken over.
I'd say that. Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, he's basically the perfect triangle player.
He's a good fit on any team, man.
He is a good fit on any team, but you know, the corner three and D guy like Lee is a great fit for what they're trying to do in New York. It's the rest of the moves that make you wonder how they're going to end up. I mean, do you see, you know, Noah and Rose playing a combined, you know, 70 games next year or what? I mean.
Oh, you say combined. Okay.
Like together. Yeah. Like together. Like, you know, one guy plays 35, the other guy plays 35. You know, like, you know, I mean, is it happening? Nah. Do you think Rose stays healthy? I mean, that's, you know.
See, Rose might have something left in the tank. I mean, he may just be coming off that injury slower than some people. Okay, cool, whatever. Noah is dead. Like, I saw him die. He's dead. So I don't know how he's going to really contribute to all that, what they're trying to do. Like, if he was healthy, yeah, he'd be a great passing big man that could take a huge amount of pressure off Porzingis, Melo, you know, make life easy for everybody. He's a great center when he's playing basketball. He's going to be a cheerleader for most of the time. So you might be paying for a locker room influence. I don't know. Rose, like, is he going to play this year with the legal stuff going on?
I mean, that's another thing altogether, but I just, you know, it almost seemed like it was I need results to prove that my legacy is still, like, you know, I'm still a good basketball mind. So Phil Jackson has made some moves. You know, I don't know if that's the case, but it doesn't really seem like there was a real strategy behind it. You know, like, Rose is available, let's go get Rose. But there's a lot of other players that seem like that would have fit much better than getting Rose, you know?
They brought in Rose, Noah, and Jennings. They got Brandon Jennings as well.
Yeah, they did get Jennings, right?
Oh, that's the real starter. Okay. That's the real starter. Gotcha.
There's three players they got that are probably done being effective players. Like, the Vegas odds on those three dudes are they're probably done.
Yeah.
So you're already fighting the fact that their best years are behind them. Not only are they probably done, but they're injury prone too. There's a lot of ways this could go wrong for them.
You also have, like, you know, a possibility of Melo starting to decline as well. You know,
He already has.
I was trying to be nice.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
You know, but I mean, he's still going to be, you know, he's still effective, right? But I mean, it's, you know, he's probably going to start declining as well. And then the only real thing that you have on that team is for, you know, I know people are going to hate on us talking about it, but you only have KP and Lee. That's it. That's really positive right now in Phil Jackson's tenure as the president, you know?
If there was a roster that was empty with Courtney Lee and Porzingis, that I would be happy to build around that.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a good start, right? You know, but you got Melo and you got Rose and you got Noah as well. And they're all like, you know, like, if he would have signed them to, like, a 2-year deals, you know, type of thing, but he gave Noah 4 years.
I think Rose is a 1 year.
Yeah, like, Rose is almost finished. You know, they traded for the last year of his contract.
Yeah, so I don't really hate that deal.
They have
to do something.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I understand. I can 100% agree with that. But then you still have Melo's and Noah's.
Yeah, Noah's is scary.
Yeah, well, I think, personally, I think Melo's is actually the most scary because he has a no trade clause. So you can't even move him without talking to him. And, you know, that to me, that basically cripples anything that they can do. Cause, you know, some team out there would probably like to take a gamble on Melo and make a run for the playoffs and give you some assets back. But unless he says okay, they can't even do it, you know?
I mean, I don't want to hate on New York too much because the problem is it's just so many things have to go right for it to work. You don't have so many what ifs going into a year. And with them, it's like a what if at every single position.
It's basically, the entire season is a what if. I mean, almost like.
Well, outside of Courtney Lee, you got four positions of what if. Like, is KP ready to, you know, take on that load full time now? Is Melo going to, you know, is he not going to be injured by the All-Star break again and then, like, go play an All-Star game and then, like, pretend it's not that bad but not give a shit for the rest of the year again? Is Noah going to live? Is Rose going, you know?
Is Rose going to go to jail? You know,
you
have a lot of what-ifs there.
Is Brandon James going to be on Instagram eating Vaseline like the last New York point guard? You know? Like, it's just too many what ifs. And I like their coach too. I really do like their coach.
Oh yeah, the coach. And that was a good signing. I think Horny was a really good pickup during the offseason as well.
Yeah.
And he fits everything you would want if you're Phil Jackson, right? Because he can run the triangle because he's ran the triangle a lot of his career in Utah. People don't realize that Sloan actually was very triangle heavy. You know, everyone talked about their pick and roll, but he ran a lot of triangle aspects in their offense. So Hornacek is really attuned with that offense. So basically, if you want him to run that, he can. It was a really good pickup, I thought, for them.
Well, speaking of Utah, I thought their offseason was pretty solid.
Oddly enough, I think a really good pickup for them was Joe Johnson, you know, getting, you know, yep. And while he might be pretty much, you know, Paul Pierce type of player at this point of his career where he's pretty much done.
Yeah, you're just having fun out there.
Yeah, but he brings a lot of good things to the table, and I can imagine him in the playoffs just having one of those, like, all of a sudden he scores 28 and carries the team to a victory because they needed him to. I can see Joe Johnson being that kind of influence on Utah.
And they got Boris Diaw, who...
Yes.
Boris Diaw, he's just having fun out there too, man.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that those two players are huge upgrades to their bench from last year.
Yeah, and I mean, they already, I mean, and we'll, you know, our next episode, we're going to get into predictions, you know, obviously, you know, with October being, you know, the start of the season. But I really think that their core team is really solid, so they didn't really need to mess with that, and they went out and got some really good glue players to help, you know, take the pressure off the starters. You know, and as well as scorers as well. I mean, DL and Johnson are scorers, which is what they needed.
Well, they needed a point guard, and they finally got one too. So,
oh yeah, that as well. I mean, their point guard situation has always been a mess.
But now they have to make the playoffs now this year.
Yeah, I think they have a good chance of doing that, especially when we're going to this next team I want to talk about. How about Dallas? They got Bogart, they got Barnes, and they got Seth Curry, right? I mean, they basically put together like the bizarro, the bizarro Golden State Warriors, right?
The biggest move they did was finally pay Dirk. That was about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad, but they're going to go into the season starting what, Williams? They're going to start, cause they re-signed Darren, didn't they?
Yeah, Darren.
Yeah, they got Dirk. Him for 1 year, but I mean, okay, Harrison Barnes is going to be a significant part of their offense, and that's just not going to be pretty. And I say this as a UNC fan and all that stuff, but yo, like, he's not. I look back to the finals. Chandler Parsons would have hit those shots. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's
so
it's,
I'm looking at yeah.
It's gonna be ugly. I think in there. I think I feel bad to see the tail end of Dirk's career end up with this talent around him, but it's what it is, I guess. I mean, you know who I thought made some decent moves, but again, I don't know how they all fit together with the Rockets. The Rockets ended up with Nene and, with Ryan Anderson as well.
Yeah.
They got Eric Gordon too.
They got Eric Gordon as well. I mean, they bring in Mike D. So, I mean, all these kind of point to them, you know, being a high-paced, you know, high-score output team. But how does it all fit together is kind of the question. Who plays center?
Nobody. Yeah. Like, what you mean? What you need a center for, bro? We get buckets, man. Everybody shoot threes.
Buckets.
Yo, I mean, the Rockets, I mean, they're not even trying to be conventional anymore. They're not even trying. They say, like, their whole offensive idea for the last 3 years was like, yo, we're going to score points and we're going to do our best on defense. All right, go team. And now with Mike D'Antoni, like, all right, listen, all the energy you put in the defense, forget that.
Yeah.
No more point guard, no more center, James Harden. You were the, you're the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to average 130 and give up 135. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh,
is it going to be good? I mean, they might not make the playoffs, but I guarantee it's going to be the most, like, one of the most fun watch teams in the league that far. So, I mean, it is what it is, but conventional, it's not.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mike D has never really been conventional in that way, but it's going to be interesting because they got a lot of kind of overlapping players, like with Gordon and Harden And then you have, you know, Nene and Ryan Anderson. You know, where are they going to find time for all these players together? However it works out, it's going to be fun. I imagine Nene is going to play center for them probably pretty much coming into the league, coming into the season, you know, so. I actually, you know, because, you know, we have Morris on, let's talk about the Lakers.
We don't have to.
Yeah, I think I feel that we have to.
I know you're hyped for that new Mozgov.
Yeah, home, that Mozgov. You got that Mozgov. I heard you got that new Mozgov.
Y'all hype, right?
Yo, Morris, I heard you got that new Mozgov.
$64 million.
We gave him so much money, and he was not even playing last year.
Yeah, yeah. But I heard you got that new Mozgov.
So, yeah, we got Mozgov.
For only $64 million.
For the bargain. The bargain of $64 million.
He probably won't even be starting after the first month or two of the season. And then we got Luol Deng.
You got Luol Deng as well, right? I mean, that is just like... Luol, bro. Yeah, you know. I mean, that Mozgov... I mean,
considering they're replacing Brandon Bass and Roy Hibbert, it's not that bad.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, again, it's not it's not always the signing. It's not the fact that they signed them. I mean, it's just the contracts and the length that they signed them to that makes it so bad. If they would have got them for a 2-year deal or a 1-year deal in the door just to have bodies, you know, but you got to deal with these dudes for 4 years, man.
Yo, as soon as free agency started, yo, we got Mozgov on the line.
Mozgov, right? I'm sure he was even surprised to get the call. What? You know?
Yeah, I was upset after I saw Orlando's deal with Bismack Biyombo being cheaper and way after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Mozgov to me, like, obviously, I don't think he's going to be a very good player for you guys, especially after the second year, you know, of his deal. Them signing him was kind of like, all right, we just need a big man in the center. We don't care who we get, you know?
Yeah, we're going to be bad. We're going to be bad this year for sure.
Yeah, but the real head scratcher was Deng, though. Like, what? Why? Why did you even sign Deng?
Yeah, and then draft Ingram.
Yeah, he had Ingram already. You were drafting Ingram. That was already like a foregone conclusion. Right? You knew he was coming in.
And then we got that rookie from last year, Anthony Brown, who they keep giving chances to.
Yeah, yeah. And then we talked about Julius Randle as well, so you have him on the roster as well. So,
yo, that's right, you got Julius Randle. Oh shit!
So where does where does this Deng fit in? You know, to the future.
He really doesn't.
Yeah, and
I'm pretty sure he's getting paid. That's the whole D'Angelo Russell's phone.
Yeah.
Larry Nance, I think, is going to probably be our starting four by the end of the season.
And he probably should be because he's played quite well. But the one good thing that he did do is you locked up Jordan Clarkson and you got him on the cheap as well.
Yeah, that was the one good thing this offseason.
The one good thing that you guys did in free agency. But
and he has a shitty agent.
Should probably fire him, you know. But... another move that happened in offseason that I thought was interesting was Al Jefferson going to the Pacers. I know you're really familiar with Jefferson, you know, having spent all that time in the Hornets.
I like Jefferson, but I know what he is, man.
Sure, like, sure.
Nah, he's a good guy and all that kind of stuff, but the Pacers, like, okay, let's go down the list. We got Monta, we got Teague, we got Paul George, Turner, Jefferson, and they had somebody else? I can't remember, but that's a lot of... Like, okay, so somebody's got to run an offense now. I mean, all those guys get buckets by themselves.
Yeah.
Or they do their own thing. They're not like, that's not going to fit, man.
Well, I'm going to take a little different take on it. It kind of fits because their coach is known to play ISO ball.
I mean, ISO ball, it works in spurts.
Like. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to light the world on fire. They probably won't make the playoffs, you know? There's a good chance that happens, you know? But I don't think that their team is put together quite so poorly. But trying to get, you know, young black athletes to go to Indiana is a hard sell within itself. So kudos for them for getting Al Jefferson to come. You know,
I'm just saying, not like if you were in the playoffs one year and you, well, they weren't. Well, if you're in the one, if you're in the playoffs, you can't go backwards off free agency alone. That's my thing. Like,
but, I agree, but I mean, like, they went and fired their coach for whatever reason, and. You know, and I love Mac 10. I'm a huge Mac 10. I've been wanting to see Mac 10 take over, you know, friend. You guys know that. I would, anytime an open seat comes out, I'm like, yo, how about Mac 10? How about Mac 10? You know, that's like, that's,
you know, working the phones.
Yeah. I mean, you know, them firing their, you know, Vogel over there was pretty kind of out the blue. I don't want, you know, because I'm a Mac 10 fan, I don't want to say stupid, but let's just call it what it is. It wasn't the smartest move in the world, in my opinion. You know, and then you're going to, you know, you're definitely going to have to take a step backwards, I think, just because, you know, you shook up your roster. You got rid of some of the guys that Vogel thought were really good for the chemistry of the team. Like, you know, you get, what was it, Hill? You bring in Teague, and now, you know, now you got Jefferson. So now you go from a team that was kind of playing this weird, like, slow-paced fuckball type of, you know, ISO offense to a team that actually doesn't look very good on defense anymore.
Well, the thing is, they were never that good on defense to begin with. They just played fuckball. As in, we're gonna drag the game down to a level where it's just so nasty where you don't even know what your offense looks like anymore, and then we're gonna beat you at our level.
That was part of, you know, their defensive charm, kind of like the Knicks, you know, you know, back in the day when Pat Riley was their coach, you know, like, and they had Anthony Mason running point guard.
It's nasty, but I mean,
it's like, just a nasty type of basketball. But they added, you know, the pieces that they had before were good at that, right?
Here's my thing, too. Okay, we're talking about Al Jefferson. Like, people don't understand how bad Jefferson is defensively, okay?
Well, he's not like, Greg Monroe, but yeah.
No, he might be worse than Greg Monroe. Like, I've seen Al Jefferson, like, look the wrong way intentionally and let a layup happen, then wonder what was going on. Like, I thought you had him. Like, bro, you're the center. I've seen him go to inbound a ball before the bucket even went in. Okay.
Yeah, man. He's a visionary.
he's bad, but I mean, like, I don't know. Pacers, they added a lot of people in one free agency season, and it's good that they're active and they're trying, but I think it's kind of like wasted energy. Like, they don't know what to do with their program right now. Well, their program, I'm thinking of college ball. They don't know what to do with their team right now. So they make a bunch of decisions that really show how indecisive they really are.
I mean, it's not having a clear vision of what you want your team to be, right? They probably, you know, bringing in, the way I see the moves is that they're trying to kind of give a little more offensive spark to their, you know, franchise, because they played this horrible brand of basketball for so long, you know, that even though they're winning, people don't want to watch them.
Well, yeah, then they come up with, like, crappy ideas, too. Like, hey, Paul George, you want to play the fourth this year? Hell no, get out my face, you know? Like,
That old school Larry Bird stuff, you know? Larry Bird is like, well, I played the four, so you should play the four as well, you know? Like, you know?
Yeah, hey, it ain't working, man. So I think they're kind of treading water right now. They're not going to be terrible next season, but they're not going to be good either. And that's probably the worst place for any franchise to be, especially when you got a star who, as we've seen with the CBA showing its true colors now, doesn't have to stay there.
So Paul George is a true bona fide star. I mean, he's an incredible player. I mean, like, you know, I hate to even throw it out the idea, but could you imagine a Paul George on the Spurs under Greg? You know, like just, you know, like if he was in a different situation, surrounded by different players.
Yeah. Like, imagine him for the Clippers.
I mean,
like, filling that hole. Yeah,
I mean, I honestly thought that George, you know, at the beginning of the season, was actually a legit alternative for MVP to Curry.
I mean, he's a beast, but I mean, you gotta, that's the thing now. Like, you gotta either give him that supermax early or live with the fact that you're gonna deal with some trade rumors coming around when it's time to sign that extension. So, I mean, it is what it is. With the Pacers, I'm not really too all just confident what they're doing long term now.
Yeah, long term, it's definitely iffy, but I do think the moves are interesting to how their offense is going to look next year. I think their offense is going to be better, but I think their defense is going to just be horrible. You know, I think another team I wanted to talk about while we're here is the Magic. You talk about teams that made moves. The Magic made lots of moves.
Yeah, they kind of did, but like the front court now, that's the big one. Like, okay, they're going to play some good defense, I guess, maybe. But, I mean, between Biombo and Gordon, you got, like, shot blockers that they're going to go for everything. There's going to be no easy buckets in Orlando. But their perimeter defense is going to be kind of eh. And then you can't play Gordon and Biombo at the same time because you're not going to have any offense. So all the offense is going to fall on Fournier and that trash point guard they got.
Well, you also forget about Ibaka's there as well. And that's another.
No, I didn't forget.
Another shot blocker. Another
I didn't forget.
But it's another shot blocker and another guy that can't play with Biombo and Gordon at the same time, right?
Yeah, so, with Gordon, Bismack, and Ibaka, they basically got three palette swap of the same fucking player.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, like, Ibaka is I think has a little bit more value on the court right now because he, every now and again he makes a three pointer. their team is interesting, but they also ended up with DJ Augustine as well.
And they're gonna love those monthly Jeff Green 20-point games.
Oh yes, Jeff Green is there as well to remind you that Jeff Green is like this generation's Billy Owens. He's like, he will always have the word potential attached to him, even though he's like, 30.
I was going to say like Vin Baker without the alcohol problem. Like, man, Vin Baker can hoop. It's a shame he can't put the bottle down.
Jeff Green always has that like, yo, I could be a kind of a superstar in this league or a perennial all-star in this league if I would just figure out what kind of player I was. Am I a power forward? Am I a small forward? Should I handle the ball? Should I be a spot up shooter? Should I focus on my rebounding? He doesn't do any of that. He just kind of exists.
He's kind of trash, yo.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is trash at this point. He'll always be that kind of like, signing, this dude with potential, but the dude is 30 now. So
send him by the door with the rest of the trash.
Yeah, there's no potential with that. It's like your potential, runs out at a certain point, but he will always be that Mr. Potential kind of player. So,
I mean, I'm hyped for Fournier though. I think Fournier and, Hizonja, I know I'm not saying that right. Those guys are going to be good. I just don't think they're ready to carry an offense yet.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that they're one of their big problems is that they're dealing with the lack of an actual, their point guard's garbage. Their point guard play is really bad. And if
they have half a point guard.
Yeah. If DJ Augustine is like your answer for that.
I love DJ, but DJ don't care no more, man.
Like it's not that he doesn't care even. It's just that DJ is a serviceable backup. He's a decent backup even, but if he's like, your answer for like we need point guard help, let's get DJ.
I'm trying to deflect the same off my Bobcats, but Elfrid Payton, like he went from okay, he has potential his rookie year to the second year, just like bro, what are you even doing? Because now he's doing the Rondo stuff, but he's not even Rondo good. Like, you need to have a shot at point guard. He has zero shot. He can't create offense.
If you don't have a shot, you have to be John Wall fast. What I mean? I'm saying like if you have that, like, just lightning blur quickness, then you can survive without a shot for a while. But Peyton is actually.
He's slow.
Yeah. I believe we said it in the last cast. Somebody, I think, was it you that said, Peyton would have been a great porn guy 15 years ago?
Oh, yeah, he would have been a beast. Yeah.
It's like.
I see, like, him and Mucci Norris, like,
him and Avery Johnson would have epic battles. Him and Avery would have been going at it. now it's a different game. And if you can't open the floor. I mean, what was that kid's name that came over from Japan? Tabase. Right,
I remember him. Yeah, summer league. Yeah,
he was. I think he played. I think he made it to the season. He was the only Japanese-born player to play in the NBA in an actual NBA game. And the dude was pretty quick. I mean, he wasn't like John Wall, rookie Derrick Rose type fast, but he wasn't slow like Peyton is. And he just couldn't shoot. And there's no room in the NBA for a average speed point guard that can't shoot.
Another thing too about Peyton, he doesn't even use his size well. Like, if you could, do the, not Antonio Daniels, but the, Andre, what's his name?
Miller?
Andre Miller, yeah. Like, if you can't shoot, at least be able to post up and pass out of the post. Like, abuse guards who cannot use their size.
Like, Livingston and Miller, they use their size right. And, like the original Peyton in the league, come down the lane and post somebody up and make the defense collapse on you and kick out, you might be onto something. But the thing is, the dude is just not. I don't know. He just doesn't seem. It just seems like he's regressed.
Nah, he trash. He's got to call it quick, huh? Like you can not have a shot, but you got to have something else to fall back on. Like Sean Livingston, his mid-range game is money, but he's also surrounded by shooters. Andre Miller has been in spots where he's also had shooters they can count on. Magic, like they got Mario, and then they got Fournier. So I'm like, that's about it. That's not a lot to rely on as someone who's going to keep the floor space for everybody out there. So they got problems, in my opinion.
The Magic is always was going to be a kind of a long rebuild, but some of their moves have been like a little bit like random, like to get like three, like kind of like you said, like Morris said earlier, like three of the exact same player.
And they did that with shooting guards too. Yeah. So they just created another logjam in a different position.
Yeah. And I mean, and they need wing help. They got the shooters in the wings, but they need wing help or somebody that can actually get in the lane and do something.
I mean, I just don't trust young guys to carry an offensive load like that.
Yeah,
that's a lot of offensive responsibility to keep the floor space for all those guys who can't shoot.
I'm not big on Oladipo, but I think they might have traded away the wrong guard.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wanted Payton. Like, who's going to give you?
Yeah, but they did it for Ibaka. Like, they didn't even need Ibaka.
Yeah, that's true as well.
It's like they were just trying to make room on the roster.
I kind of feel like they were planning on doing another trade down the line. That didn't pan out, right? Like they were.
It wouldn't surprise me if Vucci was gone before the All Star break. It wouldn't surprise me at all because they tried to work with him for a long time and they never found the composition for him.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can see him moving maybe, but even then, it's just like these GMs are doing the same thing where they're indecisive, so they're gonna make a series of moves on top of moves just to basically get to exactly where they already were. So they're going in circles right now. Orlando, they could be a good team, but it really does rely on a lot of, surprise seasons from Mario and this other guy.
You need guys to actually start to fulfill their potential, and that's
in even, a big way.
That's even bigger than that's even more what ifs than New York has. For them to click in. Let's touch on a couple more teams and then wrap it up, I suppose here. But the Bulls, they get rid of Rose. They don't give Noah any more money.
Gasol left.
Yeah. They bring in Wade.
Yeah.
They bring in Wade. And they bring in Rondo. I can't even wrap my head around it. Like, I don't even know what kind of offense, Fred Hoiberg runs anyways. So.
I mean.
Now you have Wade.
I'm waiting for.
Now you have Wade, Rondo, and Butler.
I can't wait. Until Rondo runs down the court with the ball and he has Wade and Butler on the wing and nothing to do. He has zero options.
I'm going to see Hoiberg and Rondo have like a serious sit down discussion. Like, listen, it's not going to work. Hoiberg, everything he does is like movement based. Everyone can score. Rondo is the exact opposite of a moving offense. Like, Rondo demands the ball. He's going to sit in the middle of the court and dribble until someone gets open, and then he throws an alley-oop or looks stupid. Like, you can't run an offense with Rondo as your main point guard. So all the problems they got are just going to like carry on to next year. And I like their players, too. Mirotić is good. Dougie McBuckets is getting better. Butler should be a top. He's probably the best shooting guard in the league, in my opinion, over Harden, straight up. It's a two-way player. But it doesn't matter because you got Rondo now, and Wade is like, he's just there for the money, you know.
Wade is, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I don't want to say that he doesn't have anything left in the tank, but he's definitely getting down to the fumes. Definitely getting low.
I feel bad for Wade and Butler because they're going to have to exhaust themselves to make that offense work. Because they're going to have a point guard who can't shoot, and then their partner on the wing can't shoot that great either.
Well, neither one of them. I mean, Butler is maybe a little better shooter than Wade as far as like a spot up shooter. But even both of them are pretty shaky from outside. So, I mean, that team has no range.
Yeah, and then they have Robin Lopez in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
What they going to do? Like, inside, like, Robin Lopez is a great complimentary player, but he's a complimentary player. So, who's the real center?
He's not the real center. This is, they don't even have a scoring option at power forward, really. You know, like, that's a serious threat.
Chicago's roster minus Rondo. I mean, I like all those players. I don't like them together, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically compliment players, but who are they complimenting? Because they're not complimenting each other, right? There's no, like, you know, I mean, there's that old kind of, like, thinking, and you need a guy that can get buckets when he wants, right? And Wade's not that player anymore. He was, you know, but he's just not that player anymore.
Not full time.
I mean, he can turn it on every now and again, but he's just not that player. And Butler also really isn't that player. Butler is much more of a in the flow of the game player, right? So when things are coming to him, you know, he does what he do. But if you need to break it down, like, yo, Butler, we need you to take over the game, I don't really see him as that type of player.
I think he could if the team was built around him, but all these moves are like, no.
Part of it is didn't really want to be there anyways, right? With, you know, him and Hoiberg butted heads off rip, right?
I mean, they butt heads because, I mean, like, Hoiberg.
I don't like him as much a coach. I just throw that out there right now. I don't think he's an NBA coach.
I mean, I don't think so either, because if you come in and you're an offensive genius, whatever, and your offense sucks, okay.
Well, I mean, that was the same thing with Billy. Billy was almost the same way as the Thunder. They got better as the year went on, but you don't see that from Hoiberg. His team is.
I think it's a little bit different with the Thunder, because with the Thunder, you got two, you know, damn near MVP players and all that kind of stuff. And those guys are going to do things their way. There's always going to be that kick back, you know, where we're doing it this way because it works for us and you need to find ways to make us successful. With Hoiberg, you got a team who's basically saying our offense isn't good enough. Our defense is always going to be here as long as we're engaged and motivated. And you lost that motivation from your team. On top of that, the offense never looked good. So this season, what do? We add in guys who this is on the management more than the coach, but they added guys who don't fit what Hoiberg is good at or what their best player is good at. So I'm saying, okay, what's next? Like, what do you guys expect to happen other than failure?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think the Wade move was more of a, you know, almost like fan service, because Wade in Chicago has come up every time Wade gets near free agency, because, you know, it's home and blah, blah, blah. And for him to go home now is just more of like, well, this is just to put some people in the seats and, you know. So Wade almost seems like a fan service type of thing. But signing Rondo was a real head scratcher, real suspect why you would even do that. I mean, but to be fair, they did end up with that kid in the draft, right? What's his name? Valentine? Or Valentine? How do you remember?
Valentine. Yeah, Valentine. He's a good pick.
Yeah.
He's a good pick.
I mean, we'll see if his knees last more than 2 or 3 years, but.
Yeah, you said it, not me.
So. I know, that's what it is. I mean, you know, he was a senior coming out. You know, it's a very kind of Brandon Roy situation, you know, like it's a ticking time bomb. And hopefully they can squeeze like 4 or 5 good years out of him. I think he actually will end up being a good centerpiece for them at some point, you know. But they're still got a lot of kind of mismatched pieces to work because I think Valentine's going to end up to be a decent, you know, outside threat for them, which they need with Wade, Rondo, and Butler on the floor. But now you got to find room for him on the floor with Wade and Butler. So I don't know how it fits together, you know.
Well, the other team that's involved with that is Miami because they lost Wade.
Yeah, they did lose Wade, and they re-signed Whiteside, right?
They got Whiteside, but I mean that's all they got right now on their roster.
And well, Deion Waiters. Richardson.
Oh, they did get Waiters, didn't they? I forgot about it. They won the sweepstakes, right? They.
Yeah, I remember when Waiters was the next Wade too, man. So
they won.
I mean, I don't know, Miami. It sucks that they got to rebuild, but the good thing is they got some good pieces there already. Like Richardson's really good, Whiteside. If he doesn't go crazy with the money and all that kind of stuff, then he will. Still be. it'll be interesting because I still don't know how to feel about Winslow because I don't think he's that great of a defender where you can like give an entire team's defense to like, okay, you're our anchor on defense and just run with it. I think he's a good one-on-one defender. I don't think he's a game changer on defense like Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, even MKG. I don't think he's that big of a defender. Or even Iguodala, for that matter.
I agree with what you're saying, but I think the combination of him and Whiteside together on defense is actually a nice little core from a defensive standpoint because, you know, he can actually force players into Whiteside. And you see Whiteside is coming up with these huge numbers of blocks. Like, I mean, like I'm talking about, like, you know, like historical numbers.
Yeah.
In games. Yeah. And so, I mean, and I don't want to say that it's not just because of him, but it's because they can funnel players to him. You know, almost like Magic Johnson used to do when, you know, with Jabbar on the floor with him. And they would funnel players to him, you know, like, and if you have that much confidence in your big man, it actually works out quite well, I think. Again, it depends if he keeps his head on straight and, you know, stops getting technicals and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
And they also have the Chris Bosh's health lingering over him.
Yeah, I think Chris Bosh is going to end up fucking him like, you know, kind of like, you know, Grant Hill did to the Magic for years. You know, he'll come and play a few years, you know, play a few games and then sit.
Yeah, it's a bad spot for a franchise, man, because you're hamstrung. You can't do anything because you love the guy. You want him to be there, but he's not there.
Unless you can get him medically cleared to not play, right? Then you can't buy him out like that. You know, like, Grant Hill, he basically, they tried to force him to retire, but every year he came back and played like 4 or 5 games.
It was hard, man. Like when I was still watching McGrady down in Orlando and everything, it's like, oh, any day now Grant Hill's coming back and you see his injury tracker on the bottom of Sports Center. It's like, oh, Grant Hill out indefinitely. You know, you can't plan for that, man. You know, he might show up, he might not. You can't even, your team never feels complete, even if it's good or a bad team. It doesn't feel right when a guy's just like halfway in the locker room, halfway out.
But the thing about it is he didn't want to retire. And I think once you get that medical, like you can't play because of medical reasons, you pretty much can't come back.
Yeah.
And he did come back and played with the Suns with their, you know, whatever their voodoo magic, you know, medical staff down there.
It's so fickle, though, because, like, Brandon Roy was cleared to play even when he was in Minnesota. Everybody knew he was dead, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with them injuries, and especially with those weird, like, you know, ankle and knee-type joints that they have going on there. One team that I think we need to talk about here is the Blazers.
I can't hate. I think as much shit as I talk about Evan Turner getting paid and all that kind of stuff, I think he's a really good compliment to them because Lillard's good and McCollum is going to be really good. But when you got two guards like that, you need some kind of person on the wing to just kind of like get the ball back to them. Something to kind of ease the transition, you know, for all these offensive sets. Someone's to slow it down, find the right play to make the right pass. Someone who's versatile, who can do everything. Evan Turner's kind of that guy. It's not a great signing. It's not anything like that's going to be flashy. And even when he starts playing for them, he's not going to be the, you know, a guy who shows out. But he can do a lot of stuff for him. I think it's going to take a lot of pressure off those guys as playmakers, you know?
I hear what you're saying. Okay? You know, and I agree with everything you're saying. I really do. Except the Evan Turner part. You know, they need the wing that can help take the pressure off of them when they're on the floor together, right? Like kind of somebody that's a buffer, you know, someone that doesn't need to shoot, you know, and I agree with mm-hmm. that. Evan Turner kind of does that, but I really thought that the signing really hit me upside the head because it just was the years and the amount that they gave him. Now again, money was flying around, so it doesn't look so bad once you look at all the signings together, you know, but I don't know. I still am not sure it's a good signing, especially, you know, with how thin they are up front. I mean, you know, like,
They got Zealy, which is trash. They got Leonard. You
know? I thought their offseason went from okay to bad when the news broke that Festus is getting injections in his knee.
Yeah, but the thing about the Zealy thing is that, like, you know, in this market, they actually got him for, like, scraps.
Yeah, and I thought that was good at the time until...
Yeah.
Until the reports come out of how damaged he actually is.
Yeah. And on top of that, just, like, with centers and everything, like, Miles got fucked up the whole market for the centers. So, I mean...
Yeah, he did, but the thing is that, you know, the thing that's weird, though, is that they basically spent $150 million on wings.
Yeah.
This offseason, because they went and they signed with Allen, they matched the Nets offer for Allen.
The Nets were just messing up for everybody.
Yeah,
man.
The Nets are just out there. They're just out there.
What are the Nets right now?
Like the Nets. We'll get to that dumpster fire in a second. The
like they weren't even trying to get better players. They were just trying to mess up contracts for everybody else out there. We're going to give Tyler Johnson $50 million. Try and stop us.
Yeah, I don't even know what they were doing, But the thing, though, is that if I think the Trailblazers knew they were going to go and match Allen's contract, right? Like, no matter who tried to sign him. But when it comes down to it, they signed two dudes for like 150 almost. It's like 145 or something like that. It doesn't really solve any of their actual problems, you know, which is always going to be the front court. Like, they need it. I mean, getting Ezeli for what they got him for was, you know, it's a gamble. And, you know, and of course now they're going to expect him to play 30 minutes a game, which is probably going to just blow his knees up. But they needed to get a big that can throw a body out there that can free up Lillard. Like, you get a big that can actually run the pick and roll with Lillard. Like, he doesn't even have to be that great of a big, but just someone that can run the pick and roll with him. And you'd probably be in a better situation than getting these extra wings, you know, to get the jack of all trades, master of none wings, as Evan Turner is, you know.
The jack of all trades, master of none, that applies to Aminu more than Evan Turner. I'm going to give you that. I'm saying if Aminu was one of their guys who was seeing a lot of action and he was playing well above his talent level for the playoffs and probably the majority of the season, then I can kind of say that, okay, if they're getting that much out of Aminu, who we know is trash, Evan Turner can kind of fill that gap a little bit better.
I mean, I just... And in this... I don't mean to cut you off, but I always thought that, like, you know, with the Horford deal coming out there and Sellinger not going to... He wasn't going to resign with the Celtics, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like that would have been the dude that you go out there and you throw $10 million at him. Because he got picked up for, like, six, 1 year with the Raptors.
Oh, Sellinger? I don't like Sellinger.
You don't have to like the kid. It's just the fact that he would have been like that kind of stopgap power forward that you need. They need a power forward or a center. And they went and they took the gamble, you know, on the center Zili, who's probably not going to work out. You know, because it's just his health concerns.
I think they got a little bit of a rational, like, favoritism going on with Leonard. I think Portland definitely believes in him a little bit too much. And I, you know, maybe, again, these organizations, they're more familiar with guys than, you know, most are. So maybe they're wrong about it. Maybe they're right. I don't know. But I could never be a Sellinger, like,
But even a guy like David Lee or, you know, Scola or anybody, man. Like, just bring in.
I think Scola could have helped him, or even Powell if they shot him an offer.
Yeah,
I think he did, actually.
Yeah, but, I mean, Powell wasn't going to sign with him, but he wanted to win. You know what I mean? That's just, I mean, that's just to be fair. Like, he has a win. He has like a, he has like an 18 month window. You know what I mean? It's like.
Basically,
he's pretty much done, you know, and he's just trying to go out getting something. But, you know, a guy like Scola, a guy like, you know, I mean, shoot, man.
Honestly, you talk about Al Jefferson, that might have worked out a little bit better.
That might have worked out as well. I'm looking at guys that could play like a pick and roll, pick and pop type of position for Lillard. Because Lillard is going to be the focus, right? And then the next is going to be CJ, right? So there's no, you know, you don't need a star at power forward, but you need somebody that can on any given night give you 15, you know, that can grab 7 to 10 rebounds, you know, that can, you know, pick and roll, pick and pop. But you go out and you sign Evan Turner as like your first move. That was like the first move down the wire.
I'm more proud of them for not falling in love with Aminu than anything else, because when you love guys like Aminu, like that's the shit that Dallas did, where they figured that, okay, who was it? Josh Howard.
Yeah.
They fell in love with him forever. And he was a good player for a while, but you can't just love these players when you know that they're at their talent limit or they're playing the best that they can. And Aminu was that guy, you know?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't hear anything, so I'm assuming that it didn't really happen, but they should have thrown money at Booker. Trevor Booker would have been a good fit. You know, like anybody, man, they just needed like a big body to complement Lillard, and they didn't do it. And that's, to me, they dropped the ball this offseason, especially with all that extra money they had. They could have overpaid a dude to come.
Well, they went for Dwight. He went to Atlanta instead. They tried to get Dwight.
Dwight wasn't going to Portland.
Hey, man, it's a small market, man. You got to do what you can, bro. It's hard out here.
Yeah, but that's why I'm throwing out these C-tier dudes that could have actually helped them. You know, like, you know, we already knew that Dwight was going to go to places that had the best high schools. And, you know, but it's, I don't know. I just felt that like they really missed an opportunity to, you know, become a staple playoff team, not a fringe playoff team where players are happen to have career years, but a team that was like, we can pencil them in for at least the bottom half of the playoff run if they go and they get a big man to compliment Lillard and CJ. I mean, that's just how I looked at their offseason. Like, they really, I mean, there was money flying around. Dudes like Booker and Anderson all moved. Obviously, they weren't going to get Horford, but, you know, Horford would have been the perfect fit for them, right? But he wasn't coming to Portland, you know. But, you know, somebody that was a big body that isn't clumsy and garbage, you know.
So, Dai, how are you feeling about the Hornets offseason?
Yeah, you know, speaking of big men that are clumsy and garbage.
Honestly, I'm not too, I don't say this. I'm more hurt about Jeremy Lin leaving than anything else, because like I said, when we started this whole segment off, there's big moves and there's little moves who actually are big moves. And Jeremy Lin leaving, like, when you take something that's so successful for a team away, like Jeremy Lin in the pick and roll was one of the top 5 guards in the league last year off the bench. And when you take away something that your team is just very, very good at and say, okay, it's just one guy. And like, nah, it's not just one guy. It's a third of the playbook, or it's our go-to set when we're in this situation. When you take away that from a team, it's a big deal.
But you're replacing Ramon Sessions.
Ramon Sessions, he was in Charlotte before.
he's coming back.
Don't worry,
thing you count on is Ramon Sessions throwing himself at the rim and not playing defense. So, I mean, that's kind of like a pick and roll. So I'm not mad. We got off a
cheat. I mean, I personally love the move of Brian Roberts
And he's in Portland now, man, so he can worry about backing up those three. But
Did he go over the trade? I thought they signed him to a 1-year deal over there in
Nah, we traded him mid-season, I think.
Now he's back, buddy. He's a 1-year.
Oh, that's right. He is back. Okay, cool. So he can make the Kool-Aid for everybody. Awesome.
Hey, he's back.
He can just, sit over there and make sure that Paul Silas can find his seat.